If we do surrender everything to Jesus, it's only because he gives us the power and ability to do that. I think, like Bob said, too often we try to see the world's problems and solve them for ourselves and come up with our own methods of creating what needs to happen in our lives rather than just leaning on Jesus. And, some of you have been with me praying for my brother Mark. I did get to hear from him this week, sort of. He was going to call again, but didn't. So he's still struggling with some things. He's self-medicating for some gout and some other pain issues. And so oftentimes he's not able to follow through on the things he wants to follow through on. So continue to be in prayer for him. At least I know he's alive again. So, you know, it's been about 3 months since I heard from him. He's one of those guys that doesn't ask for help. He keeps thinking that he can, you know, just... He's not worthy of friendship or not worthy of hanging out with other Christians and being with people. He knows all the right things, but he thinks he can fix his life, and then once he's all okay and everything's good, then he's going to come and find fellowship somewhere. That's just so backwards. I mean, every one of us, we need Jesus. Amen. We need each other. We need the power of God working through us and in us to build us up, to build up his church. You know, and my brother Mark knows that. So be in prayer for him that he can find that connection, that solution. He's either in Alabama or Texas. I'm not sure which right now. Somewhere down south. He's floated around a bit. At this point, probably lost everything again. You know, he had a new truck. He was buying property. You know, I think everything's gone again. So starting from scratch, he's probably close to 50. I got so many brothers and sisters, can't remember all their ages, but thank you for your prayers. Father, we are so much in need of you every day, every hour, and as we turn to you, God, we realize that it's not an invisible church, but you've made your church visible. You've given us a local presence here with Skycomish Community Church, and you've given us the ability to love one another, to just be iron sharpening iron, that we can speak the truth in love and demonstrate to one another that you are good and you are God and we're not, and we definitely need you, Jesus. And we just thank you that you cared enough to come and dwell among us and to work in us and work through us. Thank you, Jesus, so much. Your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah. A few weeks ago we were in Ephesians 4:7. If you want to follow along in the Pew Bibles, we're on page 1786 again. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And that's such a beautiful verse. And there were a few verses in between that's, you know, we've taught on as well. But that verse kind of really ties into where we're starting today with verse 11. To each one of us, okay? Now there is the church collective, there's the body of Christ, the all of y'all, but then there's also the each one of y'all. And to each one of us, grace has been given. Now how has that grace been given? Some of that is going to be broken down and explained in some of the next few verses I'll cover today. In any organization, you need people that are appointed and gifted and willing to work in the role of leadership. And if they're not gifted by God, if they're self-promoted leaders, it can be a really messed up organization. If God's the one that plants and promotes the leaders, I think that's when body of Christ starts growing. And I'm very pleased that God is in his wisdom chosen to strip us of all of the leadership that we had here at the Skycomish Community Church and then said, okay, now here's some new leaders. And he's appointed. We've got 11 church board members. And I believe that they're called by God. I don't think that they just kind of, you know, said, hey, I'd like to do this. In fact, I didn't hear anybody saying, hey, we'd like to be on the church board. But then God kind of tapped some people on the shoulders and worked in hearts and called. And so we have, I think, a pretty good working board right now. And that's exciting to me, to watch what God's doing in his church. And he's building things. He's making things work. It's a grace that God has called Larry to say, I like working in the yard. You know, not every one of us likes mowing lawns and working with grass and trimming bushes and stuff. Some people do. But that's not every one of us. And whatever it is that God's called you to do. Okay? Now, Nick, I'm looking straight at you, and there's going to be some weeks where I'm not able to be up here in the pulpit. Enough said. And you know, and that's fine. I mean, but I don't want to pressure anybody. And it kind of looks like I am, maybe. But you know what I'm saying? It's like if God calls you and it's the right time, it's the right place, and it works. And he's given us the grace to do what he's asked us to do. He doesn't call us to do things that he doesn't empower us to complete. I do believe that God called me into the pastorate. And I had a lot of individuals confirm that in my life over years and years. And so at the age of 55, I finally started listening. You know, God can call you different times and different seasons. And I know that when we approached Village Missions and just felt the love and the concern and you know, from the bookkeeper everywhere in the organization, people are praying for the missionaries that they're sending out. Okay, so we didn't come out here uncovered. We're covered, we're called, but we're also covered in God's grace and in the prayers of his people. There's other people from the church that we came from on Anderson Island. Anderson Island Community Fellowship, there's people there that I know are praying for us, for Kathy and I, continuously. And they check up on us, and how are things going, and what's happening, and, you know, that there's more to a calling than just, hey, tag, you're it, now go do the job. We still need each other to come around each other and to lift each other up. One thing that I'm going to eventually get to today, I'm not quite there yet, but when I get there, don't be surprised, every one of you is a minister. Amen. Amen. And that's right, Michael. I mean, you know what? Michael can minister to us just with the simplicity of an amen. And that word means, so be it. Let it be so. And let God speak through everybody that we come in contact with. And let's not think that somehow we've got all the answers and then we're going to go to you and we're going to train you and we can learn from one another. I've learned from preschoolers with autism that couldn't speak a word. And I've learned from them. And you can learn from anybody that you come in contact with. God's placed people in your lives for a purpose and for a reason. And sometimes it's because they're going to be building you up. Sometimes you're going to be building them up. But more often than not, if you think you're building them up, you're probably getting more out of it than they are. It's a beautiful thing. So back in verse 7 of Ephesians 4, Paul's telling the people that he's writing to each one of us, he is including himself in that, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. You know, how much grace do you need? Well, whatever you need, he's going to give it to you. He's going to give it out like he gives out wisdom. His half-brother James talked about, you know, if you need wisdom, ask God. He gives generously. And he's going to give us grace generously. He's going to apportion it to the level that we need plus some. And the wages of sin is death. How many of us have ever sinned? Grace. Grace is what we need. I'm jumping a couple verses. We talked about those other verses 8 through 10 previously, and now we're jumping to verse 11. And it continues with the concept of what God is giving. He gives grace. Christ himself gave, and I think he's still on that concept of giving grace. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, complete, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. If you don't think that's a big role to live. He's talking to the church corporately, but he's also talking to us as individuals. Somehow, we need to mature. We need to come as a church to completion. There are people that need to be in the body of Christ that aren't in fellowship right now, that aren't here. And God's going to place some of you in their paths. What do we do with that? Let's not shrink away from it. So let's go here. Christ himself. That's kind of the whole point of this whole passage here is that Christ is the giver. He's the one. He chooses and gives. And if he's going to give apostles, he's going to give them the ability to do what they need to do. He called out specifically the disciples and said, I'm going to make you apostles. And then they didn't get empowered to do the work of service until after he'd gone back to be with the Father. Death, burial, resurrection, ascension, Holy Spirit comes down, they're empowered and they start building the church. The prophets. Maybe we should talk a little teeny bit about what all these things are. By the way, if you aren't aware of it, there's controversy around some of these words in church circles. You can't seem to find any passage of scripture that somebody hasn't said, well, it should be interpreted this way or this way, and all of a sudden there's conflict. And unfortunately, as a person that's been around religious people all of my life, sometimes we go to the conflict before we get to the point of what the passage is. The point of the passage is Jesus is the one that gives us whatever we need whenever we need it. The conflict might be, are there still apostles or not? Well, this is a little a apostles. This isn't talking about the apostles that were appointed. There's not agreement on whether or not we have apostles in this day and age. Some people say yes, some say no. So the general meaning of what an apostle is, it's one who is sent with a commission. Okay, now in the military, you've got commissioned officers, non-commissioned officers. If you've got a commission, you've got a little bit different level of authority, don't you? It's going to be something, you're a delegate with authority. You're somebody that has been given a job to do, to proclaim a message. And so when Jesus named and proclaimed the disciples as apostles, that was very specific. I think sometimes we as readers of the Word and followers of the Way like to define everything. And there's going to be times when it's not clearly defined. From this broader sense, there were others in the New Testament that were called apostles, besides the 12. So, you know, how did Paul get in on this? Was Matthias one of them? Were there others? And it appears that there were some that were proclaimers of the Way. They were sent ones with a commission. That commission might have come from a body of elders. That commission might have come from the church leadership in Jerusalem. It may have come from other different places, but the apostles, and then the prophets are very similar. A prophet is one who proclaims the word of God. He's a mouthpiece for God. I think oftentimes when we think of the prophetic, we just think of those people that are prophesying the future. But there's a level of prophecy where all you're doing is just speaking forth the truth. So in my mind, we still have proclaimers and mouthpieces for God. We still have people that give truth, and you can measure that truth against Scripture. I don't think we're going to get a whole bunch of people coming in that have all kinds of brand new ideas that are going to go, definitely not going to go against Scripture. If you're going to call yourself a prophet of God, you better speak God's word, God's truth. And then evangelist. An evangelist is a messenger of good tidings, a preacher, somebody that bears good news. Hear ye, hear ye. The king has spoken. The king is coming. We're proclaimers of good news. So, in a sense, any one of you can be a little A apostle, prophet, evangelist. If God's calling you and sending you and commissioning you to speak, and it may only be for a short period of time in one instance, or it might be for a lifestyle. I don't think we need to get hung up on the controversy as much as we need to keep going back to Christ himself gave these things. And he gave them for a reason, and he didn't try to hide the reason. That's well established here in this passage. And then the other ones that there doesn't seem to be as much controversy about is pastors and teachers, but even that, if you get into Bible scholar world, there's going to be some people that are saying, well, no, in the Greek, this is just like one office, and no, it's two. And you know what? Some people, they've come up with little things about, you know, not all teachers are pastors, but all pastors are teachers. But that word pastor also means shepherd. And in Scripture, yeah, to qualify as an elder or an overseer or a shepherd, pastor, all the same thing. It's to be qualified for that, you need to be apt to teach. You need to have the ability to teach. Now, I worked with some elders on Anderson Island that didn't think that they were teachers, but I learned from them. Now, how do you learn from somebody that's not a teacher? Cliff, he's passed and gone to heaven since then, but Cliff was somebody that you could just learn from hanging out with him. Cliff loved Jesus, loved his wife, and he loved his family. And he loved everybody else that came in contact with him. He was just one of those guys that loved. And I learned more about love from watching Cliff and being with Cliff than I could have if he'd been preaching to me and giving me biblical concepts and just giving me words. His actions spoke way louder than words would have. Jeff. You know, just again, is a gentleman that works with Young Life. He'd owned a store on the island for a lot of years, and when he sold the store, he still had accounts, numerous accounts that hadn't been settled. And the reason was because when people would come into the store and need something, and he knew that they had kids and they had needs, and it's like, okay. Sure, yeah. Here's some bread, here's some milk, here's whatever you need, and we'll put it on your account. And those accounts didn't all get settled. I think he wrote off about $60,000 worth of accounts when he sold the store. With a smile on his face and not a worry in the world, because he knows that God is the provider, and God is the one that is going to take care of us no matter what. Did I learn from watching that? Now, Jeff can also teach. He would never think that he's teaching. He'd get up and he knows everybody in the community. Part of that was because he'd been in the store, but he's also a bit of an extrovert. And you won't stay a stranger. If you meet Jeff, he's going to introduce himself and he's going to get to know you a little bit. And I learned from that because I am an introvert, and it'd be so much easier for me to just go hide in the attic of my house. Bob knows that. Sometimes he comes and like, I'm done with people. I'm going upstairs. I'm going to go study. I want to be with Jesus, but not you. Love you, Bob. And I'm not saying that personally, but there's just times where sometimes I need to be alone. But I also need to know that it's okay to be more like Jeff and be out there introducing myself to strangers and not letting them stay strangers. Because whatever title you give these guys, they were teaching me. Hank was another one, and I could go on and on. It's fun to tell stories on people that have brought things into your life. Now, how did I get to know these guys? It's not just from a distance, you know, hearing about them. That's how you get to know them. But I got to get up at about 4 o'clock in the morning every day, and we'd go down to the fire hall, and we'd have prayer and Bible study together every day before work. And then I'd catch that 6:30 boat, and I'd have to be the one leaving early. The rest of them were still praying together. They did that for a number of years. They don't do that every single day now, but there's still a solid group there, and they know each other well enough that if they need prayer, it's a phone call or a door knock away. Jeff popped over to just a little rabbit trail. Jeff was with a bunch of his kids from Young Life, and they were doing a scavenger hunt. And one of the things on the scavenger hunt was something that he knew Hank had. So he goes and knocks on Hank's door, and Hank's not home. So he goes inside, and he gets this thing that he needed. I think it was a jacket or something with certain insignia on it. And he takes it and goes, and then he texts Hank saying, "Hey, I got your jacket. I'll get it back to you when I can." Hank wasn't concerned or worried about that at all. It's just that kind of relationship. It's like mi casa es your casa, right? I mean, they're there for each other. And they're family. And I'm sensing here there's a whole lot more family being built here, isn't there? You're kind of getting to know each other to the point where, how many of you feel that you could knock on somebody's door in this congregation, and even if they weren't expecting you, they'd probably let you come in, and they might even smile and offer you something to eat or drink? You know, I mean, that's happening, and it's kind of nice. And if it's not happening enough, we need to make sure it's happening more. We need to be there for one another. If you don't have those people in your life that you can just go and hang out with just because you need to be with somebody, and then they won't be offended when you say, "I'm done, I gotta be away from you now." It's like, that's family. God's given everything. He's the one that's the giver. And He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why did He do all this? To equip His people for works of service. It's not so that the pastors and apostles and evangelists and teachers can go do all the work. It's to teach you how to do the work. It's to equip you for service. Because you're builders. You put stuff together. You make things. What is it that God's trying to build? It's His church. His body. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become complete or mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's an awful lot right there. I could have broken that down to a lot of different concepts and messages, but it really is one unit. The body of Christ is being built up until we reach unity. Now, Paul's talked about unity a number of times already in Ephesians. Why is unity so important? And again, when we talk about unity, it's not uniformity. There's still diversity in unity. But, you know, he's got all these different, you could call them offices, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, or teaching pastor, or, you know, however you want to break down and decipher these individuals, they were gifts of grace to the church so that the church can get built up, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Have we attained the whole measure of the fullness of Christ as a body yet? The potential is there. Now, do you think if Skycomish Community Church, as one little local expression of the body of Christ, is walking around and people are recognizing those are people that have attained the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, do you think they'd see us differently? They're either going to run the other direction or they're going to want to embrace us, and we're going to say, yeah, come on in. There's always room for one more. But there will be a reaction. If we are truly a body that's attained the full measure of Christ, that's not something that can be easily ignored. I'm not going to get to that other verse that talks about speaking the truth in love. I've been, like I mentioned many times, in religious organizations, in churches that were biblical and spoke the truth. Sometimes they forget that other part about in love. One of the things I like about Village Missions is they sent Kathy and I here to preach the word and love the people. It's that twofold ministry. We're shepherding and teaching. We really need to do both. You can't pick one without the other. If we teach without the shepherding, without the loving, if we're just speaking the truth, but we're not speaking the truth in love, it's hypocrisy. People see through that. They reject it. And oftentimes they end up rejecting God because we're claiming to represent God. Lord, help us not get in your way. Cause us to be people of your pasture that are led by you and guided by you and can demonstrate your fullness. Of course, if we're just running around with love and we're not speaking the truth, there's a problem with that as well. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I come to you knowing that we truly, truly need your empowerment, your grace. And we know that your grace is enough. We know that you've apportioned it according to your plan and your purpose and your will. And we know, Lord Jesus, that you've placed within everybody every local expression of your whole body of Christ. We know that you've placed all of the components that are necessary so that we can thrive and grow and learn and change. Thank you for giving us more than just our daily bread, but Lord Jesus, help us to be an expression of your love to those around us, to the world, to one another. We truly want to attain the whole measure of your fullness, Lord Jesus. Amen.